Here's what's funny. Do you want to know what's funny? I bet you want to know what's funny. What's funny is this is my 500th episode, the 500th episode of Deep in Bear Country. Not, as I say in the episode, not the 500th like that I've ever recorded, but the 500th numbered episode. I didn't number a lot of the earlier episodes because I had these big ideas about the show going off in all kinds of directions, and I didn't want to be tied down by some kind of numbering system. But now I wish I had, because I have no idea how many episodes I've actually done of this show. Because there's also, like, back when I, like, paid attention to Patreon, I had, like, a Patreon, like, special episodes that I've now folded into and incorporated. And it's a long... In any case, this is my 500th episode. Episode 500 is a huge deal. And as a part of it being a huge deal, I have on some very special guests. But do you want to know what makes it even more special? Do you want to know what makes the 500th episode of this show super special? That is that my files got completely corrupted of the episode. The recordings got totally corrupted. I couldn't salvage the video at all. The individual vocal recordings of the interviewees were a garbled mess. I don't know what happened. It's just the way I captured them just for some reason chose not to work this time. And so I did manage, however, to scrape the backup recording I have of it off the floor, polish it off, give it a good dusting, and present it to you today. Unfortunately, there's no video, so you're just going to have to listen to this, babies. So for all of you listening along at home who never watched the video, you're in luck, because everyone's getting the same treatment this week. And for Brad and Jeremy, my two wonderful collectors who deigned to appear on my show once again and who treated me so wonderfully, I'm sorry your beautiful visages are lost this time. Search Bradley Mariska's name, search Jeremy Gloff's name on the Google, and you will probably find images of them. But until you do that, just kick back, relax, close your eyes because you don't have anything to look at, and listen to Brad and Jeremy joining me for the 500th numbered episode of Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I was just thinking, the first time we all recorded, Barack Obama was president.
If only we could go back in so many different ways.
If only. I remember recording an episode the night of the 2016 election.
Listen, they say make America great again. That's what we should go back to.
Yeah. The first season of Deep in Bear Country?
Yes.
I was just talking with Alana about the fact that it just seems like a year and a half ago, I was like, I wonder if I'll ever actually catch up with the books. And then it happened, and now I'm just kind of like twisting in the wind, waiting for Mike to publish each book as they come out.
Oh, that's cool, though. Hey, maybe one day, I'm just throwing out an idea, but maybe when he does a new one day we can all read it together, like in the car, when we read that one book.
That's right.
We totally should.
We should.
I like the fact that you're doing the original cartoon series now too. I'm really excited about that.
It's fun. It's something to do. I guess it's either that or switch to Amelia Bedelia books.
Aw.
I do like Amelia Bedelia.
She also has chapter books.
Really?
Oh yeah, they're wild. Imagine taking the conceit of Amelia Bedelia and stretching it out into chapter book length and turning Amelia Bedelia into a small child instead of a housekeeper.
Oh, no.
Because you know what's not funny? Little kids making mistakes in their wording. Like, that's just what little kids do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, welcome back to Deep in Bear Country. It is my 500th numbered episode. Now,
And I do have to qualify that by saying it's my 500th numbered episode, because there's right. quite a few episodes that don't fall into that that I've done. In fact, the first episode you two were on was not a numbered episode.
I know that. The first few collector's episodes, we weren't important enough to fit into the numerology that is your esteemed podcast. So, but I think that, you know, if it's, if this one is good enough to get a number, I'm fine with that, Phil. If you deem that our conversation is worth number 500,
I had to be careful initially and not number your episodes in case one of the two of you got canceled for some reason. Then I could just delete all those episodes and it wouldn't screw up the number.
It could still happen.
It's more likely now.
No,
no. I've had a few episodes that the guest on there proved to be a less than savory character.
Really?
And yeah. And I was just like, oh no, my numbering.
Oh no.
Yeah, it happened. I mean, I've been on the air for 10 and a half years.
So that's what happened to episode 91. Oh, now I get it. You know.
Oh gosh. So. You two, what have you been up to? No, okay, Dad? On to the next question.
Okay, I do have a little Bernstein, but Brad, you should go first, though.
No, I honestly, I'm going to be really honest. This past year has been least successful in finding new items for my collection, but most of that is because I have spent the least amount of time, maybe ever in my adult life, focusing on my bear collection and trying to acquire new items. Work has just been really consuming the past year, and when I do have free time, I've been too emotionally and psychologically exhausted to, you know, collecting and searching for holes in your collection is actually, a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Cool.
And I haven't been able to, focus my energies on collecting. So, I don't have a lot to show for myself in the past year. So I think that made this invitation all the more heartwarming because, it's fun to see that, and Phil, I know you've struggled with some ups and downs going through this podcast over the years, but you've continued to move forward, and that inspires me. And I'm really proud to, count you as a friend. And, I listen to this podcast every Saturday, well, except this past Saturday, because you didn't have an episode, and I kind of felt like I didn't have a reason to get out of bed.
And Jeremy, can you say the same for you? Has it been a rough year?
Well, you know what? I think this podcast is valuable in another way, because I think people's, not to overuse a word, but the journey of collecting, I think, you know, even if people don't collect the Bernstein Bears, they may feel a similar thing, because for me, what happened, and this is no disrespect because everybody collects in their own way, but for me to enjoy collecting, there has to be an end game. There has to be a list where you cross off the last thing. And people start getting kind of like, well, there's a wrinkle in this page, so that's a different edition. And, you know, and to me, like, those aren't things I'm interested in collecting. So I had to make a conscious decision, like, you know, these editions, book clubs, libraries, to me, that doesn't constitute a book collection for me. And that's not going to be part of my end game. So I had to set a boundary internally of what I want to collect and how the collection will be complete. Because if there's never an end, if the well is endless, I can't do it and I don't enjoy it anymore. So that's part of the way I reclaimed the joy of collecting for myself.
That's great. But yeah, it is true. You know, the more you collect, you just end up going down an even deeper rabbit hole because there's like, well, what about this edition and that edition? And then as Phil, you talked about again, most recently on your new interview with, Mike Bernstein, that now they've gone back and they've re-edited some of the text and illustrations of several of the books, but They didn't tell anyone they were doing that. And when you look at the copyright page, there's nothing to indicate that it's a revised edition. So now we're going back through like all these books, and then you have to buy all the new versions and say, did they change anything in this one? And what constitutes a unique item and what doesn't is, I mean, you could drive yourself crazy, trying to figure that out.
I feel like, you know, someone that collects to the level of you is already like, this might not be a PC word to say, but we're already kind of crazy already. So like, we can't add like another layer to it. I guess, Brad, it's interesting, like, to compare notes. For me, I guess new text would be something to collect. But for me, like, necessarily, like, I kind of think, like, what would Mike have in his collection? Because I think he wouldn't care about, like, library or book.
Right. Like, he's like, well, this is the paperback version and this is the hardcover edition. Or this one came out with a slightly different back cover. But I do agree that, and I fully support, I think it's really great that they're going back and updating a few of these books for modern audiences, because most of the stories and the lessons they're teaching are timeless, but we all know that language changes and society changes and values change, and we learn new things and we grow and we get better. And I think that it's great that I can take the Berenstain Bears Go to Camp, and I feel comfortable giving that to a friend for their kids now, because they've removed some of that iconography or illustrations that were problematic.
Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say, I think I mentioned this to Mike, which is that, like, especially in the case of Go to Camp, what a child experiences when they go to camp now is very different than what a child experienced in the 1980s, 1970s, 1960s.
Yeah.
So if the intention of the books is to prepare a child for first experiences, you want a book that's going to reflect something closer to what that child will be experiencing and not give them something that's outside of it being offensive or appropriative, just anachronistic, like that. Like, what? Why are you giving me this book about a 1960s style summer camp when I'm heading off to, you know, like, science camp, and that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing? So I also just feel like, to keep the books relevant as educational tools, they have to reflect the world that a child is in.
Well, and I think that's really great too, because Mike talked about that with, you know, The Bully, and he said we updated it a little bit, but even still, like, you'd have to completely rewrite that book to make it modern. He's like, this is what my dad experienced growing up in the 1930s. And I was like, because boys went to boxing class, and if you had a problem with someone, you beat them up. And I loved hearing him tell that story, and it really got me thinking, is that, you know, it's one thing for the Bear family to drive around in kind of like an antique auto or a cool convertible from the past, because classic cars are still around and classic cars are cool. But when the lived experiences don't reflect what kids are actually experiencing, then it doesn't seem right. And he actually brought up another one, which was really great, that had come up in our collector group about 6 months ago that I hadn't even noticed, is that at some point, I don't know when this was, they changed Too Much TV. Originally, when it was written, the Bear family went from a black and white TV to a color TV. And then at some point, they changed it to going from a regular TV to a large screen TV. Yeah. That's something a kid today can identify with, but they don't even know what a black and white TV is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, as a collector who's loved these since I was very young and was a big part of my, like, formative, you know, we all grew up wanting to be good humans because these books we read. But the fact that the actual author is on the right side of humanity and the right side of history makes me, like, even more proud of my collection and proud to be still into this as an adult. Because, you know, so many things get outdated, and, you know, the Mike cares enough to revise the text so they are not insensitive is super cool.
Yeah, and as he's made clear so many times, this is a rough industry. Like, you have to run just to stay in place half the time. And so he's got to, you know, go with the flow. But I agree with what you said, Jeremy, in that Mike wants to reflect the best of society in his books. And so, yeah, he's going to update stuff, because what we consider the best of society is a very fluid thing. And you gotta check in with yourself every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, so, the biggest addition to my question, Brad's definitely going to roll his eyes at this stuff.
Oh no.
We had this seller from that was cleaning out this warehouse. There's like three volumes of the Hormel chili, like all the illustrations and like the different letters. So I have this binder.
Wait, what is that? What is this? What
okay.
Is, wait, so, okay. You can't just say Hormel chili.
Brad, you
hold up a binder.
Let me translate for Jeremy. one of the promotions that the Berensteins entered into an agreement with back in the early 2000s was with Hormel Foods.
Yes.
And specifically they added kind of like cereal box advertising and promotions. They put them on the labels of Hormel chili and some other products, mac and cheese and some things like this. And they had giveaways and there were like tattoos and all of this sort of stuff. And I could actually go grab one of the promotional items I have on my shelf, but Jeremy got all of like the original production art and the correspondence from the team that was designing this and putting it into practice. And I tried to acquire some of it for myself. And, Jeremy's got it all. Let's just say that.
I'm so overwhelmed with life right now that I do want to, you know, copy and make
copies for Brad and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
hey, I promise I will
scan it and upload it to the Internet Archive.
Yeah, I'm just gonna grab one of the Hormel containers so you can all see what the finished product looked like that you would have found in stores.
Oh boy, hope I don't get hungry for chili.
Oh.
Listen, I'm from the South. We were Wolf Brand chili people, not Hormel chili. it was all about a nice steaming bowl of Wolf Brand chili.
Okay. So, and by the way, they did some books too. So this is called the Hormel. So if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, you're going to have to, just imagine that I'm holding up.
Imagine a tub of microwavable cheesy mac and cheese with the Hormel label and around the side.
Kids Kitchen.
Yeah. And what does the Bear family look like on this?
Oh, they look, they're very cute. Do you see them?
Well, except that this
is a couple that are like, there's a couple of like the illustrations for the tattoos and stuff.
Oh, wow. Look at those giant. So Jeremy is showing off giant. Because these tattoos are going to be so small, this is that super bold line art that Mike would talk about that they had to do for like the coloring books and the smaller format books. But this is even more extreme. So we have like Sister Bear's face, but it's the most basic Sister Bear face.
When I take the lid off, that there's a little thing between the metal lid and the plastic, and this is where there's a temporary tattoo there for the kids, and then there's information about how to write in to get a book. And there were three books in this series:
The Berenstain Bears and Too Much Chili.
Oh,
The Berenstain Bears and the Easy to Microwave Mac and Cheese Lunch.
No. They were all books from the remember the kids what was it called the kids the Cub Club books.
Yes.
Home Sweet Tree,
okay.
Family Get Together, and maybe it was just two.
Yeah, I think it was those two.
Two, yeah, those two, just two books. Yeah.
Whatever they had the most of in the warehouse.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the person with the warehouse, like her uncle might have been the illustrator, because like his name was in one of the listings.
Oh, really?
You know, I highly doubt she's going to watch this, but like, it was probably irresponsible because she was really charging a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a one of a kind thing.
I guess.
It is one of a kind.
Well, no, but here's
Brad, if I die, just pull up and take all of it.
Okay.
Just take it.
Those binders, though. So you look at those binders, these massive collections of paperwork, letters, and everything. Just a reminder that, and I've been bringing this up since day one, is that every little bit of a bear on a label, of a Smurf on a can of Chef Boyardee pasta, of Pac-Man on a can of pasta, what have you, a group of artists and designers had to sit down and work this out. Like, it wasn't the Berenstains didn't just email a PNG to Hormel and say, like, just slap that on. This was a problem.
Right, because the PNG format didn't exist.
Obviously. Make another crack like that, Brad. You're going to have to open that can of mac and cheese.
Hey, this is still good. There's no expiration on this baby.
But the fact is, I'm not saying that it was a labor of love, but it was a labor. Like, it's something, like, this was a job. This was something people had to do. And then the Berenstains had to sign off on it. Oh, what is it?
The expiration is January of 2007.
Still good. It's still good. It's sealed.
Yeah, it's still good.
It's Hormel. It's good.
It's Hormel. It's hermetically sealed. You could put that in a bomb shelter.
Yep. Could put it in a 50-year time capsule and just open it.
I did once eat a tin of chili mac at a friend's house, and he let me open it and heat it up and eat it. And then he was like, "That chili mac is over 10 years old." They had brought it with them back from when they had moved back to the United States from Singapore when he was a little kid. And I was like, "Why'd you let me eat it?" He's like, "I wanted to see if it was still good." And ladies and gentlemen, it was still good.
Well, if Mike Berenstain wants to update the Hormel with, like, less gluten so it's relevant to today's culture. So, Brad, I have a proposition for you. I feel like we should get together and Zoom and, like, make a list of what our end game is so we can cross things off.
I like that. I like that. We need to do that because... I need an exit strategy.
Yeah.
Are you looking to liquidate your assets?
No, I don't want to liquidate. I just don't. It's a very unsettled, unfinished thing. I mean, I suppose, Phil, you can identify this with this regarding the podcast is that there's some days where you just wish it was done, but there's other days where you never want it to end. And I love the fact that you've branched out and you're starting to cover the animated series now, because I mean, even if the focus of the podcast is the books, I make you still writing books, and you can only go back and read or review them so many times, but where's the limit? It's like, now are we going to do episodes about the 2000 animated series, or we can do episodes about the Mike books before he was writing with his parents? Are we going to, do you want to cover all of the Stan and Jan books that they wrote before they did the Berenstain Bears series? Are we going to do podcasts about the collector's plates and the stuffies and the puzzles and the board games?
Listen, I seriously started putting together episodes about the Stan and Jan cartoon books.
Yeah.
Could not figure out how to make it work as a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't figure out how to do an audio episode about, besides just sitting there describing a bunch of cartoons people don't have access to, besides just sitting there being like, well, there's a sexy woman and her tired husband. And he's making a joke about drinking or something. I sort of gone around and around on that, but I do feel like there is an idea in there. I just don't know how to lasso it yet and like reel it in.
Right.
So Brad, I feel that goes back. It's so important to just have like the finish line. Cause to me, collecting's not fun if there's never any kind of like finish line in sight.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you feel like the goalposts are always moving. I thought I knew what the finish line was because I had this list. And if I could cross everything off the list, I would have everything. But all we do is we keep adding to the list.
Right. I mean, I do feel there cannot be that much more out there. There might be a couple things, but after this last, like, We kind of got beat up a little bit in the last couple of years.
I think there are, though. I think there's ephemeral type things that were produced, especially in the 80s, that we've never seen, that we may never, ever see again.
Sure.
Yeah. Like every once in a while, it seems like somebody pops up with something.
Yep.
And they're like, look at this display or this standee.
I found articles and press releases from that time period, and they list 20 or 30 different manufacturers or companies that they were working with. And I look at my collection and I can check off half of them, but there's a dozen or more companies that they had licensing agreements with, for which I have no products. Now, it's possible they had a licensing agreement with someone and then they never produced anything. Yeah. But I know for a fact that some of these companies produced something, right? Some little toy, some little coloring book, some little something. There's stuff out there that I don't have. And I don't know if I want to actually say that I'm done until I've, I don't know. How do you even
obtained the things that nobody even knows exist? Hey, I was there for the announcement of you looking for that coloring book like 10 years ago.
The fun book.
That was like, I thought when the fun book showed up, that was it. I was like, yeah. Well, I guess they're done.
It was such a huge chip off the iceberg. Like, I'm like, phew, found this one so much closer.
I really did, because even though at that time there were still a couple books I knew that existed that I still didn't have, I really thought the fun book would be the hardest item to find, because for the longest time we never knew it existed. And then once we knew it existed, no one had ever seen it. We actually thought maybe it was never actually released. Yeah. Then we found out it was. Then we found copies of it. And I keep holding out hope that will be the case for the last handful of items that I don't have in my collection.
Right.
Wasn't it just floating around in the Berenstain's basement?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't it just like shoved between a couple of things? And Mike was like, yeah. Oh, look what I found.
And they had a few of them. And it has come up for sale maybe two or three times, Brad, since we got ours. Like,
yeah. And I think that's the most remarkable, is that we looked for it for so long and then these copies miraculously appeared from the archives.
Right.
And then it has shown up once or twice since then, like on the commercial market. So, you know, you just never know what's going to show up on eBay someday.
What's the temperature been like in the collectors group these days?
I think it's fairly cool. Listen, I don't, I mean, I check the group daily, but a lot of days there aren't any posts. I don't see a lot of chatter right now. And one thing that, you know, Jeremy and I have talked a lot about is that if we post something or we get the conversation going, like people engage, people respond, people comment, but I don't see a lot of other people in the group, contributing to the conversation or wanting to discuss the new books that come out or some weird idiosyncrasy of some book or cartoon episode. So I would say it's cool right now.
Like cool temperature wise.
Yeah, like on a scale of 1 to 500, you might say it's like at 120.
All right. Yeah.
Now, would you guys say, like, social media in general has cooled off a little bit? Because I feel like I participate less in all groups, in all posting, kind of. And I feel like it's not just me, it's kind of a generational thing. Like, I feel like we're all oversaturated and overwhelmed, underwhelmed in other ways. Like,
well, I'll say
we are all tired.
It really did get busy in the earlier days of COVID. Mm-hmm. And the further we get from that initial like spike, like the more people have are dissipating back into society. And I think pulling away from the things that they did.
Dare they experience real life?
There's people I communicated with a lot like 3 years ago or so that I'm like, oh, whatever happened to that? Oh, that was just like a thing that I got grafted onto in desperation.
Yeah.
And I say this out of love. This is no disrespect, but we were part of like a group chat with like some of the other collectors in the group. You know, every time someone found something, they posted in the chat. But me, like, I enjoy the hunt, so I had to leave the chat because I enjoy going on eBay and finding things for myself. Unless it's something like that's in my top five list, like please let me know that it's there. But kind of the mid-level items, I enjoy like, oh, here's something I haven't seen in a long time. So I wanted to like give myself back that experience of kind of creeping along and finding things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rather than it does seem sometimes it's like just everybody's just kind of buying from each other, like the items just kind of like traveling around from house to house. That when I first started talking to you too, it was very much you were still very much in the All right. Well, I got some extra time. I'm going to go hit my stores. I'm going to go, you know, scour, you know, Mercari or whatever it's called. Mercari and
Mercari. Yep.
And see what's up there. And then the collector's group just grew and grew and grew. And it became kind of like, very much just like, all right, anybody have this? And then one person will say, I have that. And then they'll ship it. And then that was it. Like yeah. And I agree that there is an element of, there's a sporting element to it that kind of makes it exciting. I follow a lot of, I don't actually follow them, but because it's that thing with social media where you visit a thing once and then that's all you get shown.
Yeah. So
I get shown a lot of collectors groups from various toys. Yeah. And because of that, I witness the sort of culture around like Transformers collectors and He-Man collectors. And they make the Berenstain Bears collectors look like the laziest people on earth. Like, they make it look like you guys have no interest in the Berenstain Bears, because those people, they will like be like, all right, I found a leg.
Oh,
what is this leg from? I almost have the whole thing, but I need to, and they'll be like, and like 5 minutes later, someone will be like, oh, that's a Philippine limited edition 1976 X12. It's a ripoff of this time. And I'm like, I can't, like, people are just rabid about collectibles. So the Berenstain Bears collectors group is very calm and very nice and very gentle compared to like some of the other collectors groups on social media.
I think that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that is also, I think that is a value that we've cultivated in the group.
Yes.
You know, Jeremy has been very, very, fiercely protective of the group, espousing the actual values of the Bear family, and anybody who doesn't demonstrate that, gets removed from the group. So I think some of those like
booted,
hyper competitive type of people are maybe not drawn to the warm, welcoming nerd type of environment that we are cultivating in the Berenstain Bears group. So yeah, I mean, we're competitive. We keep track. I mean, you mentioned a little while ago, like you made this sports analogy. Like we keep track of statistics. Like, you know, this is your 500th episode. I'm sure you know, Phil, that there are only 28 Major League Baseball players who have ever hit 500 home runs, and that Babe Ruth was the first one. And you know, 28. Yep.
I would like, I guess, I've never hit a home run, so the fact that there are that many people who've hit 500 home runs, I'm like, wow, that was that common.
Yeah. Or that in 1977, the first woman raced in the Daytona 500. A lot of people think that it happened way later than that, but it actually happened way back in the 70s.
Are you just on the Wikipedia 500 page?
No, I had to go deeper than that. I actually did go to the Wikipedia 500 page. And there's the only thing that was interesting on the Wikipedia 500 page was, and I wrote this down somewhere, how to represent the number 500 in binary. And I thought that was kind of fun. It is 1111101100.
Okay.
Aww.
And you know what, Phil? You are number one in my heart.
Aww.
Yeah, Phil, you are great. Brad, wouldn't you also say that we've kind of like, if someone's like really gouging somebody, like, and they're to like make a ridiculous profit, even some people, what? Like, know if, like, if anyone's listening, know if, like, if someone's like, I want this much money, I'm like, you're not charging me that much. Like, sometimes I am a little sassy, but I think it's like protecting, you know, this isn't a thing to like make money off each other.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I might have this crazy large collection, but even if it's something I don't have, if someone says I'm selling this for $200, I'll tell them to take a hike because it's not worth that.
You did once say that you would spend like $500 on that fun book though.
Yeah.
You did say that. You were like, I'll spend anything.
I did say that. And the other thing I would spend anything on is Songs of Bear Country.
Yep.
The CD-ROM.
If I ever see it, Brad, I'll spend anything and then just send it to you.
And I know a guy who has it and he will not sell it to me.
Is he a CD-ROM collector?
He is the designer of the game.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, add a couple. I'll put in a couple hundred just for your collection. So add that and okay. I'll send it. I'll Venmo.
Well, I'll maybe send him another email. I haven't emailed him in about a year. So I email him about once a year.
Now, I do have a super rare item I want to show you too.
Oh,
here we go.
I have a super rare item that nobody else has. This is a rare limited edition poster that Alana made for me to celebrate my show. Whoop. It's 500. It's a 500 Days of Summer poster that she doctored to say 500 episodes of Deep in Bear Country.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Congratulations. No,
she's the best.
Brad, tell me if you agree with this. Like, for the fun book, if it showed up on eBay with some stranger we didn't know, we would have paid $500. But if, like, one of our collector friends bought it for a dollar and then tried to sell it to us for $4.99, we would have been like, keep it.
No, well, if it was already in the hands of their house. If it was already in the hands of a collector, you know, I will tell this to anyone. I will tell this to Gypsy or Harrison or anybody else that is a serious collector. I want these items to be in the hands of someone who loves and appreciates them.
Right.
And I also want to make sure that we are not stealing sheep from each other or using like predatory tactics to like steal things or undercut other people in the group. But it is true. If some rando puts a book up on Mercari or eBay or Facebook Marketplace and it's super, super rare, and it's something that we desire and it's not currently in the hands of a collector, yeah, I will pay more for it just to get it into our universe.
Right.
And to preserve it. Now, we might reach out, and we often do this, and Jeremy, you're really good at this, reaching out to someone and kind of negotiating with them, saying, hey, that's a cool item. I really want it. I don't think it's worth that. Would you accept X amount of dollars? And most people are pretty willing to negotiate.
Well, I think the next big thing to get your hands on is some of the production art, design and script work for that. Whatever happened to the Disney Plus Berenstain Bears movie that we heard about so many years ago?
I don't think it even got to the production art level.
Oh no, that's Mike said that he was so impressed with the production work that they were doing on it.
Did you talk about this in the most recent interview?
No. This was a few years ago in an interview. He forgot
about that.
He was like Disney artists redesigning the Berenstain Bear characters in Disney style. And he was just like so excited about it. But like that just, he always said like he didn't know if it was going to actually go through. But they were, you know, it was moving along.
Oh, wow.
To be, I think, a movie on Disney Plus. They were going to do a Berenstain Bears movie. But who knows? That's still his goal, is to get that done.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because then the Berenstain Bears would officially be like in the Star Wars universe, I guess. How does that work? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they'll show up on a Simpsons episode for real this time.
Well, it would be cool to see them in the zeitgeist again, you know, to be relevant. You know, we talk all the time about how this series especially, but children's toys and books in general are very, very ephemeral, that they're here and they're gone and you forget about them. And it's only the rare character or series that really stands the test of time. And the Berenstain Bears like had a revival in the early 2000s because of the PBS Nelvana series, but it's been over 20 years since that happened. Yeah. And I mean, that's a long time in popular culture.
And sadly, like, you know, I know this is like a thorn in Mike's side, but they kind of only rose into the zeitgeist with the whole Mandela effect. Like, that's when you...
Oh, right.
And like, oh, and you know, us collectors are like, oh, Lord, here we go.
Here we go. Someone always brings it up. Yep. Even today, someone always brings it up. Now, my thing is, if they do an animated movie or even like a miniseries or something, we got to get our voices in there and we got to get at least one Jeremy Gloff song on the soundtrack.
Oh,
yeah.
One Jeremy Gloff, just in a party scene, something. And just we one line each. We get one line each, like some bear in the background, like, that's a good idea, Mayor Honeypot. And that's me. That's my line. Just get us up there. Throw us a
bucket. You think, Phil, this is why you're so good. You have big ideas. I never
know.
Thought about.
Mike and Parker, if you're listening, I want to say, I know you didn't in the bear cartoon. I know you didn't.
Cast me as Too Tall, but not Too Tall Grizzly, but the Too Tall from the ABC, the CBS series. the one who doesn't look like Too Tall and is actually really tall, and who did the moonwalk in that one episode. There's the episode where Too Tall's at the birthday party and he does the moonwalk. And it's the most 80s thing ever done for the Berenstain Bears. Bring it back.
Speaking of COVID, now, Brad, it's interesting because I wish we spent more time together. We, you know, Phil, thank you for getting us all on the same page, the Hormel. You know, there's a point where we kind of were really checking off things on the list, but during COVID, so many things came out that we didn't know about that it was really overwhelming to even keep track of it. And that's why I kind of I checked out a little bit because there was so much,
so much.
Yeah.
Well, and for me, I had more time to search, but I think people were cleaning out their basements and cleaning out their attics. And they were like, you know, I can't go anywhere. So I'm going to throw this thing up on eBay and see if anybody wants it. And, that's why I really believe that this stuff is out there somewhere. Yeah. Even the stuff that was sort of disposable or temporary, you know how people are. Someone has it stashed away somewhere.
Somebody's got it stashed away somewhere. Well, guys, I have a hard out tonight.
Okay.
I have to get my stuff together.
My mom to CC's Pizza for dinner. So that's what I'm doing.
When I first started doing this show, I was 39 years old. I'm going to be 50 this summer.
On July 11th.
On July 11th. And when are we getting back to Pennsylvania is my question.
Yeah, you name a time and a place, I'll be there. I had such a blast.
Wouldn't it be nice? Because I feel like at this point, that first trip, we didn't know Mike. What's in the archive? There was so much kind of pressure around it. We had to get to Rochester. If we just could have a leisurely beer country,
spend a week with him. Hang out, just show up at his house and just ask if we can crash there for a while. Mike, I think you're listening to this. We're going to come crash
you. Maybe not crash there.
I think he would let us do that. Mike, would you let us do that?
Not crash it, but crash at the Sheridan down the street. You know what I mean? I hope the same person's working the front desk as the Ramada. In Rochester. That's the last thing I'm going to say.
She was the best.
That's the last thing I'm going to say right now.
We love her. Well, Brad, Jeremy, where can our listeners find you if they happen to be looking for you?
Well, I encourage everyone to check out BerensteinBearsCollectors.com because even if you're not a collector, you can learn a lot about the Bears by viewing that website. And if you are a collector, you need to have it bookmarked.
Yep.
You do. And Jeremy?
We're all on Facebook, Jeremy Gloff, and just since Brad did bring up our group, I just want to say one more time, what a lovely bunch of people that we get to share that space with. They are
a lovely bunch of people. And I'm Phil Gonzalez, and I do this show. And
500 episodes.
500 episodes. There's no sign of me stopping. 500 days of bears. I don't have anything else to do. So just keep expect it to continue. And for everyone watching and listening out there, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, world. And I will see you all next time. Deep in
Bear Country. That was actually pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
My soul needed to see you guys, so thank you so much.
Same.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Congrats, Phil.